People who support Israel's fight against Hezbollah are holding a rally tonight. The keynote speaker will be retired Major General Lewis McKenzie. He's familiar with the issues in the region, having spent time in Cairo and Gaza. He is also known for his peacekeeping work in Kosovo. This week he was awarded the Order of Canada for his distinguished military career. And Major General McKenzie joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Karen.
Now, this current conflict obviously has drawn numerous lines in the sand. So why are you attending and speaking at tonight's rally?
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily on one side of that line in the sand. As I've mentioned previously to other folks, if there was a rally in support of the people of Lebanon tomorrow and I was invited, I'd be there also. What I'm very much against, though, is terrorism, and Hezbollah and Hamas are terrorist organizations, and Israel's campaign to control them and stop them from attacking their country, I think, is a legitimate undertaking.
So what do you plan to say tonight at the rally, then?
Well, I'll try and dispel some of the myths. Probably won't be all that successful because myths are hard to dispel, but nevertheless, this attitude of even-handedness of Canadian foreign policy in the Middle East, as if, if you look up even-handedness in the Concise Oxford, it comes out as being impartial, and if you look up impartial, it means treating all sides equally. Well, I mean, we recognized Israel in 1948 and its right to exist, and we've supported it ever since, and we've noted that Hamas and Hezbollah are officially designated terrorist organizations by the Canadian government. So that doesn't sound very even-handed to me, and it's inappropriate to think that we should be sitting down and negotiating with a terrorist organization, which is what you have to do to establish a ceasefire. So diplomacy is taking some time because the only way to arrange a cessation of hostilities is to try and convince other nations, Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, that have influence of Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, and Syria, to step in and bring them under control. That doesn't happen overnight, as they're discovering as we speak in Rome at the conference that's going on right now.
I know that you ran for a federal candidate for the Conservatives, so how do you balance the views that people are looking for you, perhaps politically and also as a former soldier? How do you handle that at a rally like you're going to attend tonight?
Well, it's unfortunate if people anoint me as a conservative candidate from 1997 when I ran on a single plank platform of national unity. I was so upset at the results of the last Quebec referendum where my country almost disappeared. I ran for Jean Charest because I felt he'd done the best job during the campaign, and I went from Sydney, Nova Scotia. I wanted to go to St. John's, but I didn't make it, and points in between. So I wasn't here much during the campaign in my riding, and my aim was to speak out on this country and why we should be protecting it from those that would break it up.
But there's been a great deal of criticism back to the issue of Israel and its bombings of Lebanon, especially after a Canadian peacekeeper was killed in an Israeli airstrike in southern Lebanon today, and Kofi Annan has some strong words against Israel today. So as a former soldier, how would you characterize the conflict and the politics surrounding it?
Well, there's an information war going on. The tragic loss of a soldier yesterday, who I happen to know and I think probably is from my regiment. We received emails from him a few days ago, and he was describing the fact that he was taking fire within, in one case, 3 meters of his position for tactical necessity, not being targeted. Now, that's veiled speech in the military. What he was telling us was Hezbollah fighters were all over his position, and the IDF were targeting them, and that's a favorite trick by people who don't have representation in the UN. They use the UN as shields, knowing that they can't be punished for it. But all that to say that there is an information war going on, and you know, Hezbollah is not some fly-by-night organization running around in black coveralls at night only. They have a lot of infrastructure that sponsors, that help sponsor their activities. They've got taxi companies, bus companies, residential areas, schools, etc. So there's a lot of infrastructure there, and if Israel is going to try and intercept reinforcements and shut them down, they can't just do it by taking on the fighters in, quote, the front line, unquote. They have to go after the infrastructure. Now, please don't think I'm being cavalier about life here. I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination. But with the amount of firepower that's gone into Lebanon over the last couple of weeks, the death toll is unbelievably low, in accordance with the delivery of that firepower, which means that targets are being selected pretty darn closely. Beirut is not being flattened. Beirut's not being bombarded. I heard one CNN reporter say, this area is being bombarded. We've had 6 bombs in 20 minutes. Bombardment is 6 bombs a second. I mean, that's what bombardment is. It's using all the resources you have.
So the wrong terminology, but yet the pictures reflect flattening of certain areas of Beirut.
Absolutely. A 12-block area, square area in southern Lebanon, the center of gravity of Hezbollah's organization, and it has been flattened. And, by the way, people were warned to get out long before it was flattened, which is sort of unique. I don't think the Germans did that at Stalingrad.
But Israel is facing a lot of international pressure to come to some sort of peace agreement. There's talk of perhaps UN troops going in. Everyone's not agreeing on that. Canada does not want to be involved with that, a UN peace group. So what do you suggest then? You've lived in the region. Yeah. What do you think needs to be done to achieve peace?
Well, it's inevitable that Israel's going to do as much as it can before it knows there's going to be an imposed international settlement. That's the characteristic of warfare. Heaven forbid that the UN would go in. I have no problem at all with the UN resolution, although it'll be watered down to the lowest common denominator because of the actions of the Permanent Five and their national self-interest. But the UN has no capability to run a large military operation. It's proven that left, right, and center during the 90s in particular. Hundreds of thousands of people have died as a result. It has to be an international force, a robust force, and that means mechanized troops, at least 25,000, going in under competent leadership. It could be Turkey. It could be a number of other possible leadership contenders, NATO, for example. But it has to be non-UN with a UN resolution authorizing it, and that's going to take a month plus.
And Stephen Harper says it should be from neighboring countries. It shouldn't be the U.S. and and Western countries. Do you agree with that?
Well, I'd agree with it if they agree to join, but they have a habit of sitting on their hands and fermenting in one side or the other, the conflict. So I'm not sure.
So what's the answer then if they're not going to help out and you don't want it to be a U.N. group either? So who?
Then it has to be a lot of NATO countries sitting on their hands are eligible. They can go. France is an ex-colonial master there.
What about Canada?
Well, wouldn't it be nice? You know, it's embarrassing that a G8 country with the budget surpluses that we have is only capable of maintaining 2,300 troops overseas where they currently are now in Afghanistan, where about 600 of them are actually fighting. The rest are important headquarters, logistics support, etc., provincial reconstruction, and that we're out of resources. And we are, because, you know, there's 2,000 coming home and there's 2,000 more getting ready to replace the ones that are going over now. The Army, of which I was a proud part, the Canadian Infantry, is 2,000 smaller than the Toronto Police Force. I mean, give me a break. Where do you find the resources? Sure, we might be able to station a couple of low-risk capabilities over there, a Navy offshore, but Hezbollah doesn't have a hell of a big Navy, so I don't think that's much of a threat.
Well, watch today's developments. Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Retired Major General Louis McKenzie. He will be the keynote speaker at the Stand with Israel rally happening tonight. The event is being sponsored by the Canadian Jewish Congress and a number of other groups. Jim Curran checking the drive.